All set.
All right, great. I'm going to call the meeting of Laws and Rules and Government Services to order. Jane, do you mind taking attendance?
Sure thing. Chairwoman Bartels.
Here.
Deputy Chair Roberts.
Here.
Legislator Gavaris.
Present.
Legislator Heppner.
Here.
And Legislator Ronk.
Present.
You have 5 present, 0 absent.
Okay, great. Hopefully everyone's had a chance to look at the meeting minutes and the transcript. I'll entertain a motion to approve them.
So moved.
Okay, that's Legislator Ronk, and a second, Legislator Heppner. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, passes unanimously. I'd like to take a couple things out of order because we do have quite a few guests. If we could start with resolution on our list, number 7, late resolution number 296, which is amending the 2020 Ulster County budget to accept an allocation of funds from the New York State Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance to support activities associated with sheltering the homeless during inclement weather code blue plan, Department of Social Services. We have Commissioner Iaposi joining us.
I'll move it.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Okay, that was again Legislators Ronk and Heppner. And Commissioner Iaposi, welcome and thank you for joining us. You're on mute.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for the invitation.
Great. Do you want to give us a little background about the resolution?
Sure. The Code Blue Plan is a plan that every Department of Social Services in each county across New York State is required to arrive at. And it's basically focused on making provisions during the winter season to ensure that we have facilities available for anybody who may need some kind of housing or other related supports. And we have been participating in this program since the Code Blue Plan was required via the governor's executive order. So it basically spans 1920. And we submit a plan normally in the fall of the year, and it goes through a review process up at Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance. And usually there's some back and forth with regard to specific items in the plan. We contract with a service provider, which is Catholic Charities. So we arrive at including, again, an array of items. We currently include in our Code Blue Plan a warming center. And that warming center is located at the Iglesia Church on Elmendorf Avenue in Kingston, New York. Part of what is included in the plan are the costs and expenditures associated with what are activations. And the activations are basically 12-hour periods. They can be from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. or 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And basically, the governor's executive order around Code Blue requires that a county have facilities available to house persons when the temperature is at 32 degrees or lower. So our plan basically arrives at setting forth parameters that we're going to comply with that meet those requirements. And also, we have the discretion to have activations during other kinds of weather conditions. Obviously, the size of Ulster County and the weather that we experience can be challenging, so that while it might be warm in one part of the county, it could be colder temperatures in other parts of the county. So we usually want to be prepared for activations between October 1st and April 30th. And basically, the plan that we submitted for the 1920 winter season was approved by OTDA for the amount set forth in the resolution. I believe I appeared at one of last year's committee meetings when we were submitting the plan. As the resolution set forth, it's 100% reimbursed by OTDA. All of the expenditures that we projected and predicted have been approved. So at this point, we're really, once this resolution hopefully is approved, we'll be in the process of transacting the invoices from our service providers to cover the expenditures that were incurred. I can report that our expectation is that we're actually going to come in a little bit below what the approval is for, because the number of activations that we contemplated were actually fewer than what occurred in 1920. And we basically predict our activations based on the prior winter. So it was a little bit more of a mild winter. So we actually had the plan approved for the entire amount that we submitted. But when the final numbers are arrived at and all the invoices are transacted, we're going to be claiming for a little bit less than what's in the resolution. So that's basically a summary.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions? Legislator Runk?
Thank you. Just pertaining to lateness, I read the late memo. I definitely see that the award letter came after resolution deadline. When is the signed agreement due to the state? Is it due before our next legislative meeting?
This signed agreement accepting has already been submitted. So we're seeking this to be able, we submitted the acceptance on 7/20 in terms of their approval of our amount. So we can't actually receive or start transacting any of the invoices until this resolution passes. But the plan itself that we submitted to OTDA has been approved, and we acknowledge their approval.
Just
we haven't transacted any funds yet.
Just from a procedural standpoint, the state won't release any funds until we pass this resolution. Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone else have any questions? Okay, then on the resolution, number 296.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, it's a unanimous vote. Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay, thank you, Chairwoman. Appreciate the invitation.
Yes,
nice
have a great
everyone.
Have a great
stay
evening.
Well, stay safe. Thank you.
Okay, and now I'm going to take number 286. We have Commissioners Dittus and Turco and Deputy Commissioner Quigley here, and that is approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Clear Ballot Group Incorporated for the
I'll
Board
move
of
it.
Elections. Legislator Ronk moves it.
Second.
Legislator Roberts seconds it. Okay. Commissioners, do you want to give some background?
Not
Hello,
sure.
Everyone.
Go ahead, Tom.
Go ahead, Ashley. Go ahead.
So we're procuring this equipment to help us with the influx of absentee ballots that we expect to have returned to us for the presidential primary. In June, we had over 11,617 ballots to count, which took us the better part of 2 weeks. This equipment will let us count faster. It can also help us out with recount efforts, and it's completely reimbursable to our grant that we got in June, our HavaCares grant. We budgeted for it then. It's one of our allowable expenses, and it's going to help us out with not just timeliness and certification, but also in extra staff time and bring in part-time work. So looking forward to it.
Great, thank you. Commissioner Turco, did you want to add anything?
I'll just say that we've been thinking about this type of equipment for a while, and the opportunity arose this year with the grant so that we didn't have to spend county funds, and I think we should take advantage of it. So that's all I'll add.
Okay, Legislator Ronk, I saw your hand up.
Yeah, thank you. I want to express my gratitude for the Board of Elections that, you know, this one came in on time. I know I've been kind of a pain about it in the last couple of months, and I know that you took extra effort to make sure that this one came in on time. So I just want to extend my appreciation. I've got a couple of questions about the machine itself, because in my election experience around other counties that have these machines, I found that the absentee ballot counters can tend to miss poorly marked ballots. And a lot of ballots come in from elderly folks, nursing homes, things of that nature, where they might not be marking them, you know, 100% according to the way some of these counters are going to be able to, you know, read. So in other counties, they have certain internal protocols for hand counts of ballots that might not be read by the machine. Is there a plan to implement policies and procedures such as that for cases like I just mentioned?
Well, first off, it doesn't really change the process. So even before we use the equipment for our absentees, any close elections, campaigns, challengers, attorneys will have the right to still look at envelopes,
yep,
compare the signatures, et cetera, et cetera. And as with any close elections, once the absentees are scanned and tabulated, if the variance falls within all the guidelines, I mean, we currently have a state guideline, the hand count comes into play. The equipment doesn't eliminate the hand count.
No, I understand. So, I'm talking about ballots, because I've seen this happen in Dutchess County, just to use one example, where a ballot will come in that clearly is marked, but it's not necessarily in the box, or it's not, you know, you know, it could be considered an extraneous mark, but it's obvious that the, you know, that the vote is there. The commissioners in Dutchess County that I've been privy to have had a policy in where cases like that, the ballots are put aside, not put through the machine because they won't be properly counted necessarily. I'm not talking about a hand count of the machine ballots that, you know, on election day. I'm talking about the absentee ballots that are tabulated through this machine.
Well, don't forget, this is, in a close election, those ballots are going to be set aside because that too will be viewed and challenged by whatever parties involved. So to speak.
Could be set aside.
Yeah.
They could potentially be set aside, but they're not necessarily going to be set aside.
No. No, I mean, you know, if the election, to be honest, if the election is not close and there's no way of overturning it, we will count every ballot like we usually do. But just like the voting machines in use out in the at the poll sites, the ballots are fed through. There could be an extraneous mark on them, but nobody cares because nobody sees them, right? So the tabulation is done. The election is not close. But keep in mind, every ballot will be seen before being scanned, every absentee ballot. So the opportunity is there to set it aside, hand count it, challenge it, etc.
Understood.
Are there any other questions? Okay, hearing none on resolution 286, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, unanimous. Thank you, commissioners and deputy commissioner, for joining us. And now we will go back to the start of our agenda. Resolution.
Thank you all. Right.
Thank you. Thank you. Resolution number 7, adopting the Ulster County Code of Conduct.
I'll move it.
Do I have a second for discussion? Second. Okay. And that's legislators Ronk and Roberts. Legislator Ronk.
After a lot of soul searching, I'm willing to support this as it sits right now with the understanding that, you know, we'll work together to try and amend it either through the ethics law or, you know, through adding penalties to this. I don't want to hold it up anymore. I haven't gotten there with how the penalties would work out yet. And so I'm just going to throw up my hands and say let's move forward on this and then just commit to continue to work on it.
Okay. I'm grateful. I'm surprised but grateful. So on the resolution.
It's Christmas in August. That's it.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Legislator Gavaris, is that a discussion or we want to move? Okay, so all in favor of the resolution.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Okay, passes unanimously. Thank you. And we will continue to work. Let's pick that up very shortly. Resolution number 237, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 9 of 2020, local law amending various sections of the Ulster County Charter and Administrative Code to reduce the Ulster County Legislature to 21 members, to be held on Tuesday, September 8th, 2020 at 6:15.
I'll move it.
Legislator Ronk moves it. Legislator Heppner seconds it. On the resolution, is there discussion? Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. Our caucus is not supportive of this at this time. We had a long discussion about it at caucus. We're already, because of the state legislature changed the dates for referenda to be on the ballot, there's not time to have this on the ballot this year. This is going to be our only public hearing in September. And I just think at a time when we can't be in the room with the public to have them be able to speak to us, you know, I think it seems foolish and a waste of the taxpayers' time and money to have a public hearing on something that wouldn't even be able to be implemented until after next year. We don't support moving forward on it. I think that changing the size of the legislature is a laudable discussion, and I think that it's a discussion that we should have. I'm not sure 21 is the answer. I have never been sure. Even when Fred Wadnola proposed it back in 2009, I wasn't sure that 21 was the answer. So I would prefer to either defeat this or to postpone it, but I'll be voting no.
Okay, does anyone else want to speak to it? Legislator Heppner?
Since the sponsor's not here, I don't know if, you know, I just for now would move that we postpone.
I agree. Before you make that motion, Legislator Roberts, you had your hand up. Did you want to speak on the merit or?
Yeah, you know, judging by the timeline we're on, and I didn't get a call from Chairman Donaldson about a postponement, and I think he knows what we're up against, timelines and stuff. So I'm going to vote no on this too, and vote no on a postponement.
Okay. I agree with a lot of what Legislator Ronk said in terms of, and I've said before that I'm not really sure what the number is. I do want to have a conversation about downsizing, but I'm not sure about 21. And then I think the most salient point is that right now there is no rush to move this tonight because it's not going to go on a ballot this year. So I'd like to give Legislator Heppner again the opportunity to move for a postponement and ask that we support a postponement and hear from the chairman and have further conversations about that. So Legislator Heppner, did you want to actually make that motion?
Yeah, I'll move it to postpone.
Do I hear a second to postpone? I'll second to postpone. Okay, all in favor of postponement? Aye. Opposed?
I'm a no on postponement.
Okay, so Jay, did you see that the postponement positives Bartels and Heppner? I'm just saying it so it'll be in the transcription easily. And the noes, Gavaris, Runk, and Roberts. The resolution fails.
The postponement fails.
Yes, so on the resolution. Sorry, thank you. On the resolution, all in favor? Opposed?
Opposed.
Aye. Okay.
Just for the record, that was all opposed.
Just for the record, that was all opposed. And just for the record, that was because I was not prepared to vote on it tonight. It needs further discussion.
Same.
And that same came from Legislator Heppner. Resolution number 284, adopting proposed local law number 4 of 2020, a local law establishing certain consumer protection practices in Ulster County and penalties for violating the same.
I'll move it.
Legislator Ronk moves it. Legislator Heppner seconds it. On the resolution discussion, Legislator Ronk.
I just want to commend Legislator Lopez and everybody on this committee and Ways and Means and the Democratic Caucus and the Republican Caucus that worked together, I think, to craft something that we could all live with and it's going to protect people in Ulster County. I think it's a good example of collaboration leading to the best laws.
I agree, and I want to specifically acknowledge not just Legislator Lopez, but Legislator Guevara for
of course. I try to include everybody.
No, you did include everyone. I just wanted to make sure that I recognized him by name too, since he did a lot of the legwork in reaching out to Legislator Lopez. So I thank them both, but I thank everyone as well. On the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, that's unanimous. Okay. Resolution number 285, adopting proposed local law number 7 of 2020, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster in relation to local law number 5 of 1991, a local law adopting a hotel and motel occupancy tax to clarify the tax law's application to short-term and vacation rentals.
I'll move it.
Legislator Ronk moves it. Legislator Heppner seconds it. On the resolution, discussion? Deputy Executive Evelyn Wright.
I think you've all heard our concerns on this, but just at the risk of being redundant, I hope you've all had a chance to take a look at the memo that the County Attorney's Office prepared on this. We're really concerned about the language in this law that requires the county executive to execute an agreement without any criteria, without any room for negotiation, without any time windows for negotiation, anything like that. We just think that this could set up a situation in the future where, you know, folks who weren't party to creating this legislation come to the conclusion that we have to do something that is not in the county's best interests. And we would just urge you to reconsider the way it is stated.
Okay, Legislator Ronk, you had your hand up.
Thanks. I'm going to be a no on this tonight. I've had numerous conversations with our minority counsel, Nick Pascal. Our position on this has not changed since the first time it was put in. We don't have under our authority, from the state to collect an occupancy tax, the authority to collect it from a third party. I think that the county attorney's memo today, somewhat, validated those concerns. Again, I believe he's the third county attorney to weigh in with the same opinion on that. For those reasons, along with a host of other ones, including the opposition from the Hospitality Association in the county, concerned it's going to harm them at a time when they can ill afford to be, further harmed. Because if there's one industry that's been decimated by COVID, it's the tourism industry in general, and in Ulster County, tourism is a huge part of our economy. So, for those reasons, the Town Supervisors Association is against it. For those reasons, I'll be a no, and I believe that our entire caucus will be a no.
Legislator Walter.
Thanks. I'm just to make sure everyone was able to see the email today from County Council, basically affirming the legality of this resolution. I would also add having extensive conversation with tourism and the town supervisors. Their concerns about this are completely separate and different. The supervisors were led to, some of them and not all of them, to be under the impression to support Evelyn's argument that us passing this resolution would harm their negotiation skills. It's not for any other reason. And again, it's not unanimous among the supervisors. Tourism has their other kinds of concerns, including finding that counties who had these agreements in the past were finding trouble getting out of their agreement. But I'm trusting that when we do get to the level of a contract, we're not going to find ourselves pigeonholed in some, 10-year agreement. So I just want to make sure that that's out there for the sake of clarity. And I do not believe that the Republican side is a unanimous no.
Okay, just confirming a memo from the county attorney was circulated to members of this committee along with minority counsel today. So you should have gotten that. That was in an email because it was marked privileged and confidential. So you should have all gotten it via email. Legislator Roberts, and then I have wrong.
Yeah, I did receive the email at 3:37. I didn't get a chance to go through it. I'm sure it says what what you're saying it says, but again, I didn't get a chance to look at it yet.
I'm sorry for the delay in getting it to you. It came on, I want to say Friday, but I was missing the attachment until today. So I wanted to make sure that it was clear to circulate. Legislator Ronk had his hand up, but has disappeared.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Just making sure my dog doesn't eat something he shouldn't. So I'm going to be as nice about this as I can, just, you know, from what Legislator Walter said about the contents of the county attorney's memo. I won't speak to things that are in it because it was marked privilege and confidential, and, you know, I choose not to break attorney-client privilege. I think that Legislator Walter's comments on its contents, you know, just prove that, you know, you can read anything into what a lawyer writes, because I don't read it the way that she said that it affirms our ability to collect the tax.
It is interesting in that front, because when you characterized it differently, my take on it was differently as well. So it is true.
I believe it was a carefully worded opinion, but I don't believe that it affirms that we have the authority to collect the tax. I believe that it affirms we have the authority to collect some taxes.
Okay. Legislative Council?
Sure. I mean, I'd be happy to just, again, reiterate my own opinion, which in my view is similar, if not identical, to the county attorney's opinion. And that's that the New York tax law permits us to collect this tax and collect it from a third party. And I'm very confident, particularly in the case law that has recently come out of the third department, which is where we are, obviously, is guiding on this principle. And I would also speak again to the same issue we addressed last week with respect to the negotiation power of the executive. My reading, again, I do not see any limitation on the executive's power to negotiate a good deal on behalf of the county. There is no restriction whatsoever that he engage in negotiations that would render a bad deal. There's no limit in time to his ability to enter into an agreement. There's no requirement or mandate that he accept a bad agreement. So I just don't see that argument with any merit whatsoever.
Deputy Executive Wright, was that your hand up?
Yes, if I could just follow up on what Legislative Council just said, I'm wondering if you can envision what would happen in the event that VRBO or some other platform that might come along and gain market share in the future came to us with a contract to collect this tax and we could not reach agreement on a provision that we thought was problematic. The language in the law says the county executive will execute a contract with every hosting company that offers one. What's the out there if the county executive comes back to the legislature and says, we think what they've offered is unacceptable and they're not moving? I don't see the out in there, and that's the scenario we're concerned about.
Legislative Council.
Sure, and I certainly appreciate the position, but with all respect, that's not what the law says. It just says that the executive shall enter into an agreement. It doesn't mandate that the executive accept the first agreement or the second agreement or the third agreement that's presented. It says that the executive shall enter into an agreement. The executive, with that language, is certainly empowered to reject a bad agreement. So again, I just don't see it as a requirement that we accept the first agreement through the door.
And also, I just want to follow on in terms of clarity's sake, the debate about whether or not we have the authority to collect taxes, it's my understanding that the executive's office is looking to enter into an agreement, in which case the executive's office is intending to enter into an agreement to have Airbnb collect taxes. Legislator Ronk?
That point right there is why I would say that the opinion was carefully worded, because I believe that the opposition to this and support of another contract was a consideration when that was written. I will oppose the contract when the executive brings it forward that they're attempting to negotiate now as well. The proper way to do this is to go to the state and obtain a home rule authority to be able to change our occupancy tax authorizing law, which I tried to do several years ago and was not supported by the state legislature. The majorities in the Senate and Assembly did not bring it forward because of intense lobbying by a New York City hotel motel trade union. I feel strongly about doing things right, not the easy way, not the quick money grab way, but the right way and the legal way. And that's what I've been, that's what I've been attempting to do this entire time. So.
Are there any other comments? Okay, seeing none. On the resolution, all in favor? Aye. That's an opposed?
Opposed.
Okay, legislators Ronk and Roberts are opposed. The resolution passes. Resolution number 295, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into the County Health Research Inc. Department of Health. On the resolution, Legislator Gavaris moves it.
Second.
Legislator Ronk seconds it. I don't know if anyone is here to be able to speak to it. Deputy Executive Milgram was here. Deputy Executive Wright, is this something you can speak to at all?
This is Kristen.
Kristen. Oh, great. Yes, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm calling in on behalf of Dr. Smith. She had the day off today.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
So this agreement came to us through New York State DOH, through Health Research Inc., and it is to provide money for increased staffing capacity to conduct contact tracing and case investigations related to COVID.
Okay. And it's a revenue.
It's a revenue contract. It's for 2 years. The current reimbursable amount is $357,000, but depending on cases and how things ebb and flow, there is additional funding that could be released. The maximum amount on the agreement is $1.477 million. We only heard from the state regarding this contract on July 30th. They've asked that we return it by August 28th, hence why we worked with contract management to submit the resolution to enter into the agreement late.
Okay, are there any questions? Okay, hearing none, all in favor of resolution 295?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, passes unanimously. Thank you very much for joining us.
Okay.
Okay, resolution number 297, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Capital Market Advisors LLC Legislature. Someone move the resolution. Legislator Gavaris moves it. Legislator Heppner seconds it. Are there any questions or comments on the resolution? All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, that passes unanimously. Okay, now, is there any old business that anyone would like to discuss? Legislator Ronk?
At some point we had discussed having a subcommittee on the rules, and I just wanted to just bump that back up as old business and revisit it, so.
You know, I was thinking about that today, and if the committee's not opposed, rather than having a subcommittee, I'd like us just to have a special meeting, which I'll try to schedule through Jay shortly, depending on everyone's schedule, and then give enough lead time so that everyone could come with the rules and their notes, and let's just work through it as a committee. I mean, we're just five of us, and that's my opinion. That's the way that Legislator Roberts did it as chair of the committee, and I thought it worked really well.
Well, we did try a subcommittee that lasted, it seemed like, for a year, and we finally gave up.
That's why I figure we'll skip that step, and we'll just go right to working through it. So what I'll do is I'll have Jay reach out to everybody. We'll suggest a couple dates, probably in the month of September. And if everyone at that point could take, Jay can send a copy of the rules to everybody to mark up or to take notes on. And then if we come together and we just start at the beginning and work through each section, I think that's the best approach. Thank you for bringing it up for revisiting. Mm-hmm. Under new business, we had discussion of the proposed amendments to the human rights law, which were submitted by the executive's office. I spoke to Mark, Deputy Executive Ryder, about it. And he was gonna have Jennifer Clark here to discuss their proposed amendments, but I don't see her present. Legislator Ronk?
Thank you. When I was told about this, I was discouraged at best, disgusted at worst, because I don't think myself, or I'm not going to speak for him, Legislator Heppner, who co-chaired the human rights law task force, were consulted, discussed, or at all apprised of the fact that this was going to be introduced or was going to be put forward or even proposed. There were a lot of community members that were involved in this, including the NAACP and the LGBTQ Community Center, the Human Rights Commission itself, the county legislature. I just, if something like this is being worked on in the executive's office to a law that was passed by the legislature and included all these stakeholders, I would expect at the very least, hey, we're working on this, even if they don't want to discuss the details with us. So this was very discouraging, I guess I'll say is how I felt about it.
And if I can respond, I mean, I anticipated that discouragement, which is why when I saw the resolution with my name, I said it was not going to go in this month with my name, but said that we could discuss it at committee in advance of putting it in, because I have a lot of respect for the work that commission committee did. You all spent a long time, and as I'm aware, even though I didn't attend, you had many early morning meetings with community members, et cetera. And so I did not feel comfortable moving forward a resolution with my name and springing it on the two of you, much less the whole body. So I expected them to be here today to discuss it so that it wasn't so that we had advance notice and it was something that we would work through. But I don't see them. Legislator Heppner.
Just to add to what Legislator Ronk said in terms of, the community involvement that really went into the process and the amount of effort from all, different organizations and groups and representations from the county. One of the things why it was such a long process too is because the legislation was strongly vetted by then the County Executive Hines administration, as well as the county attorney at that time, before it was even brought to the floor. And there was changes made around that. So I was kind of surprised by the sudden legal proposals. Obviously, I'm willing to have a conversation. I want the best human rights law there are, but there can be. But I was surprised based on the well-documented history these changes just recently went through.
Yeah, and I just want to respond to that, and then I'll hand it over to you, Legislator Runk. And on that front, when I spoke to Deputy Executive Ryder about it, he stated that many of the changes were technical changes that were required to have the committee run smoothly. On my read, I did not feel comfortable with that explanation, which again is why I wanted to begin a conversation in advance of having a resolution before us and submitted before us. So it looks like that's going to have to happen next month at the soonest. Legislator Ronk?
Thanks. I don't agree that the changes, as far as I was able to look at, are just technical. In fact, there are several sections. Honestly, one of the changes, you know, was one that I was, you know, I would have not necessarily been against if it had come up in the, you know, in the commission itself or the task force itself, because this draft, and Legislator Heppner smiling, I think he knows what I'm going to say. This draft eliminates money damages. I mean, and you know, as far as I saw, that are able to be dealt out by the Human Rights Commission and the administrative hearing officer, you know, and only leaves in non-monetary damages. You know, again, that was, I think, one of the biggest pieces of contention among committee members, was how much to make the money damages, not to eliminate them altogether. It also eliminates any references to Section 12D, which again is how we all agreed that we could legally do this. So not only does it really eliminate some of the things that were most important to many of the members of the task force, including, you know, especially the community members, it also removes the specific sections that our attorneys had said we needed to have in there in order to make it legal under our construction of a human rights commission. So to say that the changes are technical, I think, is a stretch at best.
So what I'm going to ask, I will reach out again. Deputy Executive Ryder is on vacation, I believe, this week. So when he's back, I will reach out to him about attending our next meeting. I also believe we circulated proposed changes from Chairman Donaldson, which have to do with term limits of members, something that we're running up against currently, given that we have members that are exceeding their term limits, but that want to stay. And I know this is something that we ran into before with the EMC having interested volunteers who wanted to stay longer. So that should be a subject of debate moving forward. I'm going to also ask that Legislative Council and through Minority Leader Ronk, that Minority Council have a look at the proposed changes from the Executive's office, so that we can have a robust discussion about that with Jennifer Clark from the County Attorney's Office and Deputy Executive Ryder, hopefully next month. Legislator Ronk, your hand was up.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, you know, just so you know, Chairman Bartels, we had those discussions at length in the task force on, you know, the term limit. And we actually changed the term limit because it was an absolute term limit previously. We changed it, and I think also in the code, where after a brief hiatus, after a brief break from the commission, they could go back on. But that was a desire to try and get more people involved. And also, you know, the old idea that, the old thought process that you want to rotate people in and out on a regular basis because ideas and whatnot can get stale. You're not thinking about the new idea. So that was discussed, and Legislator Heppner has that same recollection. That was what I believe that the commission had come up with on the term limit for members.
Yeah, that's how I remember it.
Okay, so we'll include Chairman Donaldson in that discussion. Also, probably have a look at the list of members in terms of those that have exceeded that stay, because my understanding that some have.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be on. We'll have that on our agenda next month. Is there anything else anyone would like to discuss this evening? All right, seeing none, I'll entertain.
I move we adjourn.
Okay, Legislator Ronk and Legislator Heppner seconds. All in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
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 Okay, and none opposed. So thank you all very much. Have a great evening, and I will see you all tomorrow.